a bill about cable bills.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Right now, if you want cable TV, you probably don't have much choice. In many places, there's only one company hooking it up. But last night, the House passed a bill that could bust up cable monopolies and lower prices. The measure knocks down barriers keeping telephone companies out of the cable market. The World Cup kicks off in Germany today. The host country plays Costa Rica in the first match. Rest assured, virtually the entire nation of Costa Rica will be watching the television. The soccer tournament is an advertising bonanza in just about every country except one. Here's Kurt Nickisch.
The world goes crazy for the beautiful game, and advertisers want to score too. With the Cup in wealthy Europe this year, global ad revenue is expected to top $1 billion for the first time ever. But that falls short of ad sales during the Olympics, winter or summer. Why? John Rash of the Campbell Mithun Ad Agency says the number one ad market, the U.S., cares little about soccer.
Advertisers are neutral. They care most about audiences. It's the public that cares more about figure skaters than soccer players.
Rash says the American soccer audience is growing and makes an attractive demographic, but he says the U.S. team will have to go far in the tournament before large numbers tune in to see what this European football thing is all about. I'm Kurt Nickisch for Marketplace.
Markets in Asia and Europe bounce back today after the beating they took yesterday. On Wall Street, the Dow swung wildly but ended up with a small gain. Dow was up 8 points to finish at 10,938, but the Nasdaq dropped 6 to 2145. The S&P 500 inched up a point to 1257. Yesterday, the White House handed out its mid-year report on the economy. Stacey Vanek Smith breaks it down for us.
There was the good news and the bad news in the White House's economic forecast. GDP is expected to grow 3.6%. That's up 0.2% from previous estimates. The bad news, inflation, up more than 0.5% from earlier predictions. So strong economic growth, but higher inflation. How's that going to pan out for you and me? Economist Eric Talley.
It's a little bit difficult to read the tea leaves here because you got two things going on at the same time, and they aren't necessarily consistent with one another.
Talley says rising inflation will likely trigger interest rate hikes. That could slow business investment and put a serious damper on economic growth.
It significantly complicates the overall picture about which way the American economy is going to be heading over the medium to longer term.
Still, Talley says strong growth in India and China could fuel global demand, giving American businesses a boost. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Where's the beef? Apparently everywhere. There is too much meat in the U.S. right now. The world's biggest pork producer, Smithfield, says it made a paltry $1 million last quarter. That is a huge drop from a year ago when it made $85 million. The company blames the meat glut. You know, France has a wine glut right now. Maybe we ought to throw a party. You're listening to Marketplace. Tis the season for nuptials. Today on The Job Files, the wedding singer.
My name is Maureen Russell. I sing in a band called Alpha Dog. We play in clubs and weddings, corporate events, pretty much anybody who needs a band. We're it. I've definitely had to learn a song or two for a wedding that I thought, ugh, we're never pulling this out again. It's a lot more structured, too, as far as you have to sort of stop when people want to make speeches or when they want to cut a cake or when the bride and groom are being announced. There's all these different details that go into playing at a wedding.
This one goes out to Joe.
It's not easy as a performer, and it doesn't matter what you do. You might be a singer, you might be a dancer. It has taken a lot for you to just stand up there in front of all those people and bare your soul to them.
Julia Morris produced today's Job File, which comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by SHRM's new book, The New American Workplace, presenting a look at the hot-button issues that define work in the U.S. More at shrm.org. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship, on the web at kauffman.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. I don't know what kind of cuisine they serve on Mars or Jupiter, but space food in general has a pretty bad rap. Tang might be the most flavorful thing astronauts have up there. But Europeans, you know, they won't stand for this any longer. From Paris, Rachel Louise Snyder reports.
Michelin-rated chef Alain Ducasse is probably France's best-known living master of culinary arts. His cooking school, in a drab suburb of Paris, teaches thousands of students each year. With the French being the French, it's probably no surprise the European Space Agency, or ESA, offered Ducasse a lucrative contract to figure out some way to perk up usually bland space food. In past missions, rehydratable casseroles and thermostabilized tomatoes have been the bane of many a European astronaut.
The first astronaut to complain about food was Jean-Louis Chrétien, who is a French astronaut, of course. He stayed 6 months around the planet, and the first thing he said when he came back on Earth was, "My God, the food was awful."
That's Florence Kane, who's overseeing the ESA project for Ducasse. Her charge is to create palatable yet convenient recipes to feed Jean-Luc's fellow astronauts on a 2-year mission to Mars. The task has turned out to be something of a challenge given the ESA's parameters.
Our restrictions is to work with only 8 products. The astronauts, they will take the shuttle, they will leave to Mars. It will last 1.5 years. And then when they will be on the planet, they will construct a greenhouse. And on the greenhouse, they don't have so much space to grow. And then the astronaut will only have these products to cook. The tomato, potato, spirulina, the onion, lettuce, soya, wheat, and beetroot.
Did you get that third one?
Spirulina.
Spirulina is a high-energy, high-protein algae found along coastlines. Florence introduces me to Gail, a project chef who's making space gnocchi with spirulina. For him, I have just one question.
Are the astronauts going to enjoy this food? Like, is this food tasty?
He will ask them when he's up there with them.
Gail arranges a plate of little gnocchis on a bed of seasoned tomatoes.
It's for me. Okay, astronaut gnocchi. Delicious!
Okay, maybe delicious was a little stretch. Florence says they're still perfecting the recipes, but they have some time. The ESA mission to Mars isn't expected to launch until 2025. In Paris, I'm Rachel Louise Snyder for Marketplace.
Podcasting sounds like something you do in space, but actually you can do it right here on Earth, and we're into it. Check out the details at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.